Praise Yahweh, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're here live, and we are also beginning tonight's phase of our New Moon Sabbath. We're in celebration here in Tennessee, and tonight joining me is Brother Robert, and Brother Eric is with us here tonight, and we're going to get in a lively three-way round table here, and we're going to kick it off here, Robert, in the book of Job. Listen as I read, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand sometimes righteous judgment. Well, that's in the book of Job, chapter 32, verse 9. Robert, we've got a lot of things coming up and coming down the pike, it looks like, with this NWO, and we're not talking about some hyped-up New World Order wrestling thing here. We're talking about spirits of wise men that are not always wise in their judgment. And we got men running the ship here, Robert. It looks like we're headed for a quick sink, or we're going to be grounded here sooner or later by the judgment of Almighty God. Robert, New World Order. We have this occasion to think that we are in the advent of a new way of thinking all around the earth, and governments are changing, minds are changing, and really, as it was in Genesis chapter 6, they're not changing for the better, because the Bible said that men, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the last day. They were waxing worse and worse, men's minds continuously upon evil for evil things and evil intentions. You think maybe that the people that are running the show are going to have to get a demonstration of the great wrath of Almighty God sooner or later, Robert?
Well, when we're looking at the theater and seeing the initiations, or the as better defined as the 13 protocols of the Illuminati, and, of course, the 13th protocol is the final destruction of any utopian dreams that still remain on the earth. And the Yahweh movement is certainly one of the last movements that has yet to be crushed or destroyed by the Illuminati forces. So this is primarily protocol number 13, a utopian dream of a civilization. Actually, one that's an ancient civilization.
That's true.
But Protocol 13 would entail the Illuminati staging of Chapter 12 of Revelation, the four beasts.
Four beasts. And, of course, we understand, Robert, that Eric, you can jump in here anytime you want to, that the fact is that we've got a look like a sniper deal here, that more questions than answers now, but since we've caught the guilty party, now the controversy is raging. Was there really two rifles involved? You know, it started out that he was shooting out of a less than a 3-inch diameter hole in the back of the automobile. Now they say there were two holes for the scope view of the sniper, which it was a fact that he had a scope mounted on there. So we've got a lot of controversy here, even in the sniper scenario, just like we did in the John F. Kennedy scenario. And then when we had the Robert F. Kennedy, some people say now that Sirhan, the one that did the shooting, is now maybe saying that maybe he was exposed to a little brainwashing here.
Well, I think one of the key times, if we look back at these events that has escalated us into almost total imprisonment or a complete police state began in 1972 with the development of BCCI, the Bank of Credit and Commerce International. And researching its history, you'll find that even Osama bin Laden was involved in that particular banking fiasco that went down. And if you remember correctly, Bank of America bolstered the BCCI bank into existence. And taking that in consideration, and, you know, the concern, is there a CIA within the CIA?
There you go.
And is the CIA within the CIA a product of the failed BCCI banking scandals?
Well, we're going back. It seems like these faces there keep popping up. Bush Sr., head of the CIA, well experienced in international affairs and the innermost secrets that the CIA has to operate under, and this black budget, Eric. Where do they get all their money down there, Eric, to operate all this massive, expansive CIA operation? Would you think maybe that some of it could be funded from maybe channels that Robert said BCCI? Is that his?
Yes, that was the name of the bank at the time.
I'd say that they're laundering it through that organization. You know where they're getting a lot of it. It's either coming from our wonderful friends that Satan and his son created.
Oh, really?
Or it's coming right out of our tail-end pocket.
Combination of both, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, today it was in the papers yesterday that they broke up a big money laundering operation down in Miami, Florida, from Miami to New York, I believe it was, and it's headed up by these very pious Jews that were found to be in violation of some of the money laundering techniques, and they might got caught with their hands in the cookie jar here. So little by little, information is now surfacing to our true enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the true enemy could be very well within their own gates.
Well, Dr. Gary was mentioning on the radio that the Trojan horse is already in the gate, and the doors are open and the enemy is coming in like a flood. And isn't that scripture, Robert?
Yes, yes it is. I like to view China as that potential.
Well, I just read, I don't know how true this is. We're speculating here. Of course, it is a press release. This is, Eric, I don't know where you sent it on the net. If you were monitoring, you possibly did. It was passed around information. This was a written article by an intelligence system that is on the conservative watchers, and they reported that there's over 400,000 troops hidden in Mexico, and that they're ready to come up. We also know that here in America, and of course, these are classified under training. Joint training exercises with the UN, and they're flying the UN flags, and they have the UN insignias, and Russian, Chinese, other nationalities are here, and somewhere around 300,000 or 400,000 here. Could it be that maybe they're using these situations for intimidation or for a backup in case there is a problem here in America?
Well, when we look at the population of America being Chinese or even being Russian or even being Arab, in a situation where there would be a police state, it would be common courtesy to allow that nationality to provide protection under a police state. So should there be a Chinese military within our borders? If there are Chinese citizens within our borders, you know, it's a tough call. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we have open borders here. What's to stop Mexicans from start shooting Chinese people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the white man's going to get blamed for it.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah,
you know,
it happens here.
That's right. So, you know,
even if it happens over there, they'll still try and blame us.
Even as it's a risky thing, but you know, we've all been brought to the table with sudden and instant possibility for destruction at any time, and this type of extended trust to allow foreign soldiers, you know, access to their citizens in a time of need and protection. That's a brave thing for a nation to allow.
Well, I agree with that. The socialist order here, Eric, better known as, you know, socialist is now a washed communist word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, socialist and communist is two different things. They just changed it from communist, which used to be an evil word. And you don't hear it much mentioned anymore because the fall of the Soviet Union, which was the master operator, I guess, designer of communism. And, of course, we know that didn't it start under Lenin, Eric? Wasn't he a known Jew? And weren't most of the government operators in the revolution of the communist movement all Jewish?
Mm-hmm. I would say so, sorry. I would say so. You got any number over here, but I would say those were the most prevalent at the time. I remember seeing a movie just recently where they were doing anti-propaganda against anybody thinking that communism is bad, and it was a movie starring Jim Carrey, and it was about the Majestic Theater, and he played like he was a soldier come home, and the whole thing was about him being a screenwriter in Hollywood. While he was in college, he had done his thing in many different organizations, and one of them happened to be a Marxist organization.
Ah.
Of course, they were about to put him in jail, and then he ends up running off a bridge, and so on and so forth. And like I said, it was anti-propaganda against communism. In other words, they're just trying to whitewash communism and say, oh, it's not really as bad as it is. But we know the truth. And truth will make you free.
Well, that's true. We got these liberal advocates in our Senate Congress. Well, names pop out like Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Joe Biden and Harkin, and I could go on and on with these liberal senators and congressmen that seem like that they're in the back of the pocket of the agenda of the socialist.
Mm-hmm.
They are advocating social programs. They've done away with our, anytime you mention God, I notice the judge down in Alabama that was advocating restoring the Ten Commandments, and actually, I believe you brought a monument dedicated to that cause
mm-hmm.
into the federal building down there, and he's under extreme fire from of all organizations. Let's see if I can get this right. It's what's that operation down there in Montgomery, Alabama, that is the ADL, and it's
yeah, the ADL and JDL.
JDL, ADL, and then the one in Montgomery is, you know, the guy that we love all of us. Morris D. Yes. Well, they're highly protesting it. It's a violation of our rights. When you go back into the Congress or into the Constitution, you see a republic with the word God and in the day of our Lord, it was numbered and such.
Mm-hmm.
Were not these men Christian in their nature and believed in the fundamental God and the things that we hold valuable and sacred today that has been thrown out, and with this separation of church and state?
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, Eric, we got a major problem here of they're slowly, systematically destroying our right to worship. to express our views about our God in any courtroom. But we still love that money that says "In God We Trust." When are they going to take that off? That's the next thing coming up, huh?
They're going to replace that with plastic.
Plastic.
Or even worse.
Well, Robert, I guess as to the numbering system, you're pretty good in the numbering system. What do you see on the horizon coming up for an enslaved, not a free society? Now, we know there's a master plan by good men and women that is to free, as Eric said, free the people of enslavement. But then the master crafters of this Illuminati, they're in here hell-bent upon restricting the movements of those who oppose them and to devise a system that would identify, locate, and eliminate. And that last part, eliminate, is a very frightening thought.
Well, I see that the, again, the Protocol 13 was primarily, if the Illuminati is going to pull this off with their present plans, they're going to have to pull off this Antichrist thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a pretty big theater.
Yes, it is. A major step.
Yes.
Well, you know, there's a lot of information about the Antichrist scenario, plus the fact the fake rapture deal, the hologram abilities of our government now to show a second coming in the sky and things of this nature. Hey, you think that they would be desperate enough at this point to try to pull something off like that?
Why go through so much trouble to keep it active?
To keep it keep it going.
Yeah, so, you know, it's an indoctrination that is teaching us that we're terminal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's final destruction, you know, that our footsteps are going to end in destruction, and they're God's chosen people, so why are they keeping the story going, and why is it so important that the use of Antichrist and all this stuff used in our media today?
Well, you know, the Jews, who are God's chosen people, aren't they Antichrist? And we worry about some solitary figure showing up at the end as as a John Wayne or a Marshall Andy type character, you know, portrayed to round us all up and move us out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there would still have to be a separation. There would have to be almost a revolution in this country for the Illuminati to pull out its last steps.
Well,
with Protocol 13.
With Protocol 13, yeah. Yeah, well, I think I can see the possibilities looming on the horizon. That we got Planet X here.
Mm.
Is this an invention of? I mean, you know, the government is real silent on it. They say that this is they make fun of anybody that advocates that there is a possibility for Planet X in the near future. No sightings, and yet they came out. Wasn't it, Eric? In 1982-83, they announced through NASA themselves that they had sighted something there.
Oh, yeah.
That was very alarming.
That's right.
And then they retracted it and pulled it off. And wouldn't it serve the purpose to keep all that down, to keep the people, the masses, from fear? As Robert said, you know, they got to control the masses here.
Yeah, even Hoagland, Richard Hoagland, on his side. He was playing it down several months ago when I looked at his site, and it's not any different. And of course, he's one that's studying crop circles a lot, but he's even got some of the latest ones on his website. But you know, it's the programming. It always falls back to this programming.
Conditioning and programming.
Yep. Yep. It depends on the programming, how much you really put into this or how much you really don't put into it. So it's just, it's a constant battle in different levels and in different playing fields even.
Well, that's true. We're being bombarded daily with good doses of Well, just you just take the major press of the world. They all of the news agencies from major cities, from Moscow to London to Paris and to Bonn and to Washington and San Francisco and all major points in between, they're a news cartel that's owned and operated exclusively by a certain set of people that are anti-Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And all Christians that read daily news are reading an anti-Christ perspective, and yet they say that they're in a fear or they're alarmed when you use the word anti-Christ. And the anti-Christ are right here among us, and they acknowledge to be anti-Christ, and we turn around, as Robert says, and say, well, that's God's chosen people. Hey, something wrong here, Robert.
Well, in that theater, the mention of anti-Christ probably won't be brought up until the last utopian dream, or shall we say, the return of the New Jerusalem, so to speak. That's the last unconquered utopian dream there's left on earth.
Well, I know Pat Robertson got his rear end in hot water with him when he made a few controversial statements concerning the Jews and their Antichrist persuasions, and then I think they spanked him on the behind. He straightened up and got back in line, and then I think, what's this guy here, Falwell?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just recently had to make a public apology to him for obviously stating basically the same thing. So these evangelists that are world-renowned Christian evangelists that are looked up to and millions adore and follow after, they are having to play up to and have to bow to the Antichrist people that they get up and teach daily that the Antichrist is coming. And then Paul, Eric just made the mention that John says many Antichrists were in the days of the Apostle John.
Mm-hmm.
And all the brethren back there, they were many there, and they stated it that they would be Antichrist. Mm-hmm. These are people that don't believe that Christ was born. These are people, Robert, that you were quoting out of the book there, the 13th proposition that they got in their protocols, that says that Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior, that he was born of a whore, acknowledging, but it said he was a whore, born of a whore, and that he ought to be boiled in semen, and he was equal to dung, he ought to be thrown in the dung pit, and things of this nature.
That's
and
pretty harsh.
This is God's chosen people, oh, Robert.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Give me a break.
Well, I mostly say that myself in humor.
in this case, no pun intended.
It's unfortunate that, you know, when you see this type of mentality, you know, surface on the earth and have a collective group of people that's going to support this initiative, and they put these initiatives in place, you know, collectively, you know, but all these things have to come. And, you know, they have a free rule, but technically speaking, it's still a trap.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the Jews out in San Francisco, I believe it's San Francisco, a couple of Jews was caught out there. These are the very militant wing of some of their ADL groups. You know, if you remember, about 6 months ago, they got caught with firearms, and they were headed into acts of terrorism. Notice, all of a sudden, not one peep or murder out of the press, the liberal press that protects and covers them up. They have a way of, they have a code, you know, and if you go against that code among them, then they're going to castigate you. They're going to defame you. They're going to make you look awful bad. And then they paint, what's the scripture say? That they're called good evil?
Good and
evil good. That's right. Well, we are talking about the advent of the New World Order. We're going to come back and discuss it tomorrow with Eric and Robert here while we're in the first phase of our New Moon service here on the Hill. We'll be right Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy, and you're listening here tonight to the Shepherd's Call. We're live here in the hills of Tennessee. We're talking about the possibility of a new world order being brought forth in this last day to actually take away what few freedoms we got left. You can't carry a gun. You don't have a right to, the Second Amendment gives us a right to own a gun, but now you got to have a license. And what's one of those cost you, Eric? You should know. I think you've got the right to carry a gun. What's it cost you to carry one of them things around here?
It's about $200 time you take the class and you pay the fees and so on and so forth.
Maintain? Do you have to have is that a permanent license or do you have to renew?
You have to renew every 4 years.
Every 4 years. Also, it's a money-making venture on top of your rights. They give you a license. We got a right to drive, but you have to have a license signing the contract that you... All these things are getting very, 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 very interesting in the last days. And they're highlighting those. You get stopped for probable cause. Now they automatically search your vehicle. They can impound. They can actually seize the vehicle. They can sell it recover money to operate their operation systems. We know that if you're driving down the road in a $50,000 automobile, and now this is a proven fact that police departments, and we're not going to pick it on any particular one because this has happened around the country in general. This is a common occurrence that they use a good old buddy network and they seize a lot of property and they make a lot of money for themselves, and their departments are, enriched by seizing, search and seizure. It would be very easy for someone to drop a bag of cocaine or a pill or something of that nature where they could seize the property. I know a man that lost an $8,000 vehicle just for having a headlight out and driving on a expired Tennessee driver's license. And I didn't even know the law that they could do that, but they seized his vehicle, impounded it, and sold it at auction for, I think, about $6,200, $8,000 or $10,000 vehicle, four-wheel. things are getting bad here in America here lately.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with that.
But to reflect back on some of the New World Order's actions regarding how important is it to involve religion, is keep in mind that there's several religions at one time that would have to be destroyed for the Illuminati to have a complete worldwide domination. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it couldn't just involve the United States and Christianity. You know, the Illuminati's plan would have to intertwine all of these religions together for one complete final destruction of all the religions.
Mm-hmm. And how better to do that than for somebody posing as Jesus Christ to land over in Israel on top of that temple they're building over there for him, just beckoning him to come in on the spaceship.
That's right.
Well, anyone who shows up, true or not true, in this consensus of thought in the world state, is going to be called the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
It's the pot calling the kettle black.
Mm-hmm.
True. So if there is a return of Yahweh and the rebuilding of the kingdom, the Illuminati system will certainly label it as the Antichrist system.
And fight against that coming.
Yes.
That's what the scripture says.
Yes.
The actual real one will be fought against. The actual fake is there. It will be accepted, and the fake will sit there, and the real one will be fought against. So,
yes.
I mean, this is an old scenario going back, as you say, the kettle is calling the pot black.
Yes, but how many choices are we going to be having here pretty soon? We have we went through the Clinton thing, but the issue with Bush pushing buttons on Saddam Hussein, and, you know, it's already been established that Iraq and even Jordan. You know, these are, you know, kin relatives of ours through Abraham. And at some point, a group of people is going to have to stand out and say, hey, you know, I have an identity here, and we have an identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And just how much of a consensus will Bush be able to maintain within our country to go and fight an ancient brother?
Uh-huh.
After all, if you remember, Saddam Hussein never fired any weapons at U.S. soldiers.
True. Well, looking like we're going to have to go over there and take some oil, in fact. But now, while we're out of, you know, policing the world, Eric, you mentioned that the Panama Canal that we labored in the early 1900s, we built with our technology. The French they gave up on it. Another nation or two had tried to, you know, get in the contract to build that. America built it at the cost of many lives, malaria and all these other diseases were coming in. And now we walked out by Mr. Carter signing it away, our national security, and then they say a man over here with a rifle is threatening the national security, and we have to have laws to protect ourselves when the Panama Canal, which is a strategic point for invading nations to get their ships and their supplies through, would have to come through the Panama Canal or spend a lot of time going a long way around. What do you mean, Eric, the Chinese are in control down there?
Well, the way I understand it, Red China brought their control of the canal. Correct me if I'm wrong, Robert, but and this has been a while back, I'm thinking that some of our other brethren that were on the radio before mentioned this in one of their shows a couple of years ago now. And and of course they got that railroad coming right up to the border of Texas through Mexico that they own. So
who owns it?
China.
China?
Red China.
They own now wait a minute. They're in control of, we know that their influence is heavy in Panama, that they are systematically taking over the control situation. They have the ability to seize it at any moment. And now you're telling me that they own a railroad that comes right up to the border of Texas?
Mm-hmm. That's what I understand.
Well, I'm certain that if there were some type of military action, that we would have some type of contract for some type of supply to China. If you look at the Nazi, the U.S. government purchased ball bearings from Germany, and that's the reason they never destroyed Dresden until one of the last cities, because we needed those ball bearings.
Well, we also know that that Mr. George Bush's one of his oil companies, Avril Harriman and Incorporated, along with the Rockefeller chain, they supplied oil to Germany throughout. And supplies in, and it looks like it's banking and financing from both sides going on here.
Well, if you study back even some of these ancient wars where they'd be fighting outside of Jerusalem, and the caravans would come and both sides would stop fighting and help the caravan through, and then they start fighting again.
That's true.
It's a kind of mercantile law to where, you know, war cannot interfere with commerce.
It can't
interfere with commerce.
You can't shut the money down.
Sure.
Well, war promotes big money from a certain standpoint. War is the best thing that ever happened for investors and things of this nature, especially in defense contracts and heavy equipment and supply side of the what it takes to carry on a war. And we're talking about food. We're talking about massive weapons, component parts, supplies, tires. You just keep going on and on. How much benefit? And here you don't hear one word about the economy and Mr. Bush is barnstorming the country trying to promote his programs of invasion, and nothing about the economy. The issues are mute here, and yet the Democrats, it don't seem like to me they're seizing the opportunity to highlight this or make an issue out of it. They're caught up in this Playboy stuff that they're using. Let me pass this around for you. This is an interesting statistic that I found very interesting. 68% of all Congress or Senate plane crashes were a congressman or senator that serves in the United States Senate that has crashed in the last 50 years. 68% of them are Democrat.
Yeah, and let me guess, they didn't vote right.
Correct. That's what I thought. And I think, of course, that leaves about 30 some odd percent Republican in this case. And so the odds are overwhelming. If you're a Democrat and you don't vote right, or something goes wrong in your indoctrination, you know, if you just buck the line a little bit. For instance, wasn't the congressman on board the airplane that the Soviets shot down? Wasn't that one of the problems? He was introducing legislation to corral the IRS and the Federal Reserve, and down went the plane.
Mm. That's probably a brave move to corral those two.
Well, that's true. Well, we know of instances also of others that died trying. We know the congressman from Louisiana, Mr. Long. I think he was advocating the abolishing the Federal Reserve, and down, you know, he went. He was assassinated.
Well, you know, for some reason, the idea of abolishing the Federal Reserve continues to come up. I personally do not think that that's really all that necessary. You know, within our government, we could establish a U.S. Treasury,
mm-hmm.
and also implement a secondary currency.
Yep.
Isn't that what Mr. Kennedy proposed?
Well, I don't have all that information.
And Mr. Lincoln.
And Mr. Lincoln. Mr. Lincoln and Mr. Kennedy, and you know, the parallels of their history is astounding when you look at the 100 years between them, the secretaries that served them for personal aids, and one went to a theater, and one the opposite. And strange as it may seem, if we knew who shot Kennedy, we assumed that we know who shot Mr. Lincoln was John Wilkes Booth, I believe. And
correct.
Wasn't he a Southern sympathizer, yet turned out to be that he was a big money launder operator back for international Jewish cause?
Mm-hmm.
I think when the truth all came out, that's what it was. And Mr. Lincoln had agreed to send all the black slaves back to Africa. And, of course, they said that will never happen. And, of course, it didn't,
mm-hmm.
because he was killed for that very reason. So,
mm-hmm.
ladies and gentlemen, we live in a very strange, odd, peculiar, dangerous world where that maybe our government isn't telling us all we need to know, and maybe in some cases, Robert, we know more than we should.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what makes our country great. Is the ability to, you know, raise the patriot cause.
Absolutely.
And that's why we have a judicial system that is built upon perfection of case law. And when the society gets to the point they're really ready, willing, and able to go and vote again, you know. And,
oh, vote.
Yes.
Isn't that coming up tomorrow?
Yes. Wow.
Well, right here we are in election time, and, you know, a lot of, isn't the balance of the Senate and the Congress both going to be in question this time around, and that's why our president is so actively involved in trying to get out and drum up. Of course, it's an old ploy, you know, they send the big guns out on election, pre-election campaign trails like the president. I mean, Clinton did it. He barnstormed across a nation.
I don't think Bush is going to muster up enough of an enemy to go and get Saddam Hussein. I don't think he's going to get the consensus.
Well, he doesn't need it. The stroke of his pen puts us in. He's done got that, Robert. That was taken care of under the threat of national security, under the fear of 9/11. They hammered through, if you remember, that the Congress and Senate overwhelmingly gave him the authority to declare war at his own
discretion. Yes.
Yeah, discretion. Said, go ahead and do it. We're behind you if it's a national security issue and you've deemed so. So
that's
here we go.
That's the thing. If he's challenged on this national security issue, if, for example, you know, if King Hussein himself were to rise up at this time and make a statement on behalf of Saddam Hussein, Bush could wind up with a lot of egg on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And should his actions be contradicted by King Hussein, and the honesty of the claims be challenged openly.
Well, I know his approval rating for just that segment of the war. We're told in the United Press International that his popularity is still at I think about 67%, and are in favor of him making the call. So he's got a blank check in the back of his pocket, and I believe after the election here, you'll see a decision real quick on an invasion policy, and I think the war machine is still grinding away here, trying to get ready and up, and we got men leaving every day here in America.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Americans leaving and the Chinese
coming in.
Is it a revolving door policy of the Bush administration to take our soldiers out and fill this country with what we deem as the enemy?
Well, that's prenup to.
Cut and dried.
Yes.
New World Order agenda.
Send soldiers out and send foreign men in to breed them out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we can't say we told you so, but for those that's listening in, and possibly those that do listen in are well informed and they know all these things. Generally, our listening audience is perhaps educated enough to know that what we're talking about, they believe, and they probably could add a lot more than what we've added here tonight on the subject. All around the country, where we go and speak in engagements and things of this nature and contact the people and people to contact, more and more people are waking up in the last days to the agenda of the New World Order and that there has to be something done. We know that the voting booth will not stop the agenda of a New World Order.
No.
The choice we have today here is Democrat or Republican. In my case, in my thinking, it's 6 of 1 and a half a dozen the other.
No.
You elect one because you get tired of the other and you call them crooks, and we turn around and put the fox back in the hen house because he's crafty enough to make us think that he's not a crook. And over the years, he's proven over and over that Democrats are crooks and the Republicans are crooks and our Senate is bought and paid for. And so we got a political system that's trying to run this ship, and we're headed for downtown Charlie.
Well, it certainly looks like it's coming. Over the next few months, we're seeing a lot of strange, unusual behavior in this country. We've discussed, you know, some of the symptoms of anxiety and how collective groups could fall into these types of anxiety structures. You know, people who just, you know, don't want to deal with a problem. The people can't deal with these types of problems. But is our nation under so much anxiety that we're getting snipers, we're getting mass murders and suicides,
and more laws to give our government the freedoms and liberties to take away ours and to defend those who they think that are the enemies, and then we read the handwriting on the wall, the enemy is us. And that scenario frightens me. Eric, you got 60 seconds to sum it up. What's happening here, man?
I see quite a bit of things going on, as Robert stated. We've got weird things happening almost weekly. Is it staged or is it not? Who cares? It's happening. We need to wake up, spell the coffee, as some people say, and move on, because Yahweh has the truth for us. And when Yahweh comes, it's going to be truth and nothing but the truth.
Well, and, I agree with that.
So when this all does come down, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But I still retain the solemn belief that we will be delivered.
Prevail?
And prevail.
Well, it's going to take a divine miracle, and I've preached all my life in heaven. I don't see no reason right now to change. It's going to take something other than our abilities. It's going to be beyond us.
Mm-hmm.
Into the realm of a supernatural move to awaken our people and get this thing straightened up. We're in a royal mess. Robert, you talked about the 13th article in the protocol, Elders of the Learned Elders of Zion, which we're told that it's a forgery. And yet in that forgery document, through the Illuminati cause, Albert Pike and others have advocated that we need at least 3 world wars to bring in that New World Order agenda to where the elite and the powerful and the rich can live in what we call down here as a utopian society. That means you got to get rid of all the riffraff. Well, Robert, is World War III looming? You got 60 seconds.
Well, I kind of view World War III as something that's already came and gone. It was a war of intelligence. And more or less, mutually agreed upon destruction. What each side is willing to lose as they step forward going into this. I see now that we're really looking at a fourth war. You know, that the third war was truly a war of information. And secret agreements. And these things were done through the Cold War. Although most people would not count that as a war, because there really weren't bullets flying and maybe
right.
Declarations of war. But
right.
If you want to take in consideration the culmination of all the information and what it has led us into, which was a 9-1-1, this information war did result in collateral damage.
Well, I believe that there's more collateral damage coming than has ever been collaterally possible before, so they might as well just hitch up their trousers and get ready, because it looks like the handwriting's in the sky. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Sharper's Call. Pastor Buddy, write me tonight. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. If you would like to email us, that's Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, lowercase, at www.gap.net. If you'd like to call my sponsor, Dr. Gary, and Dr. Miracle, too, tonight, we need your help. Be glad for you to place this order and tell them that Pastor Buddy and Eric and Robert recommended that you give a call. Call on the behalf of the show. We need your help here. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. And Dr. Jack is 1-888-281-7320. These are all toll-free numbers for you to call into to order Miracle 2. It is a product well worth having in your home, and we recommend it because it's all natural and they don't have any of that greasy kid stuff to call. Pulsy pig pork. Praise Yahweh. Well, we'll see ya on down the line tomorrow night, 8:00 Eastern Standard Time. Join us again for our show, The Shepherd's Call. To all of our friends around the radio network and all of the House of Israel, we say Happy Sabbath on a new moon. Yahweh bless you. Shalom.
thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.